You are listening to episode 80 with Annie Monaco, Ann Beckley Forrest, and Lisa Dion with your host, Jackie Flynn.
Welcome to Play Therapy Community Podcast, providing connection, information, and inspiration to child therapists all around the world. Here's your host, a licensed psychotherapist, a registered play therapist, and my mom, Jackie Flynn.
This episode is brought to you by EMDR and Play Therapy Integration Support. Are you an EMDR trained therapist that works with children and teens? I'd love to help you integrate play therapy techniques throughout all 8 phases so that your child and teen clients can fully experience the immense healing power of EMDR therapy. Visit JackieFlynnConsulting.com to check out my free webinars, EMDRIA approved courses, certification opportunities, case consultation options, individual and group, and much more. Children are not miniature adults, so working with them in a developmentally appropriate way can make a world of difference. Again, visit JackieFlynnConsulting.com. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today in another episode of Play Therapy Community Podcast. Well, at the time of this recording, it's mid-November, and it is super beautiful weather here in Central Florida. We just watched a rocket launch with a full load of astronauts aboard. It was incredible. The space program is one of my many loves. Another one of my many loves is the integration of play and EMDR therapy. So not too long ago, I seen a post on Facebook about a new book, EMDR with Children in the Play Therapy Room, is written by Ann Beckley Forrest and Annie Monaco. And I remember when I first reached out to them to invite them to this episode recording, I was thinking, Ann and Annie, I know I'm going to get confused with their names. They are just the nicest, most knowledgeable people. So I never met either one of them personally at that point when I seen about the book, but I did notice that a lot of people that contributed to the book are people that I've learned from personally, and I really love their work. So I got really interested. I was thinking, oh, if they're associated with them, they must be really good. And they are. So I can't wait for you to listen to this episode. You're in for a treat. They are so knowledgeable. I love that Annie offers the EMDR basic training as well. Of course, the basic training is the basic EMDR training where you learn to use it with all ages. But having that child knowledge is just so wonderful. I look forward to learning more from them as time goes on. It is really beautiful. I mean, just amazingly beautiful to watch this grow. Just the knowledge and the trainings of integrating play therapy and EMDR just expand. Because I think not everyone realizes that EMDR works well with kids. It can work really well with kids. So at the time of this recording, like right now when I'm recording this intro, they have some playful EMDR trainings going on. It's like a series of trainings and they look really good. So there are some links that's mentioned at the end of this training. And there's also a Facebook page that Anne runs, the EMDR and Play Therapy Conversations. I didn't know that she ran that. I love that group. Actually, it's a group, a Facebook group. And then on my EMDR with Kids Facebook page, I've reposted a couple of the advertisements that I've seen, not all of them. So if you want update, up-to-date information on what they have to offer, definitely visit their website and that Facebook group. You can find a lot of stuff. It just looks so good. So in this episode, I had the honor of chatting with Ann Beckley Forrest, and Annie Monaco, and Lisa Dion. All three of those people are incredible, especially when it comes to helping children heal. Specifically, heal from trauma. So immediately after this conversation that you'll hear in a minute, I registered for Lisa Dion's Synergetic Play Therapy training. I had been thinking about it for a while, and I couldn't really justify the time and the money. But through this conversation, it is like, I can't justify not doing this. It's so incredible. So I'm in that training right now at the time of this recording, and I've already learned so much. I've only had a couple of videos, and then consultation is a part of it. And I've already learned things, implemented things, just really expanded my work just due to that little bit. So I'm excited to go all the way through her whole training. She paired me with Lindsay Insham. I'm not sure of how to pronounce her last name. She's so good. I feel so fortunate to have her as my consultant for that synergetic play therapy training. So if you're interested in that, I highly recommend it. It's like, it's all about kind of bringing yourself into that play therapy space as a co-regulator. So if you know me, you probably already know that I'm a Lisa Dion fan. We did a couple of videos on YouTube together. She's also a former guest on the podcast. She's really down to earth. I mean, to me, she's just one of, I see her just as important as maybe like Sigmund Freud was in the beginning of our just kind of knowledge of psychotherapy. What she brings to the table is so unique and so very good, but she's so down to earth. Before we recorded this episode, she sent me a quick message. She's like, "Ooh, are we recording video? I need to know if I need to fix my hair." She's like a regular person, but she's just so knowledgeable. I love talking to her or learning from her. I love to hear her talk. And especially, you know, all three of these people together, it's a real dynamic conversation. So I won't make you wait any longer. I feel like I'm starting to ramble right now. And here we go with my conversation with Lisa Dion and Beckley Forrest and Annie Monaco. Well, I'm so excited about today's podcast episode with Annie and Lisa, three really important people in our field of trauma work with kids. And this episode comes right after the release of a book that is much needed in our field. So let me have you guys just introduce yourself, tell people who you are and what you do.
I'll go first. I'm Ann Beckley Forrest, and I am a play therapist and EMDR therapist up in Buffalo, New York. And I was a play therapist first, and then I learned EMDR about 10 years ago from Annie Monaco in the Child Trauma Institute, and then I became a trainer for them, and it just kind of grew from there, and Annie and I were so happy to edit a book, which is kind of the first one in a while that really tries to systematically integrate EMDR into play therapy as a practice, and so we've met so many interesting people along the way of doing that, so really happy to be here.
And I'm happy to have you here.
And I'm Annie Monaco. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I'm in Buffalo, New York as well. And I started working with children, but I really got EMDR trained and then started doing more play therapy pieces and helping to integrate it. So, and I do a wide variety of work up in here in Western New York. I do about 8 EMDR trainings a year. We get many child therapists to our EMDR training, in part because Ann and I really emphasize how to use the EMDR protocol with children.
Mm-hmm. So, Ann, you trained under Annie?
Yes, I did. Yeah, and I was the bad student who asked too many questions. Yeah.
She asked me lots of questions about how to do this with children. And then finally I said, you know, both of us said, maybe we should just collaborate and try to do things, which has resulted in this book. And then, you know, Lisa also being part of that book. So it's been an amazing journey between the both of us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. And Lisa?
I am Lisa Dion. I am a registered play therapy supervisor and play therapist, and I am also the creator of Synergetic Play Therapy and the president of the Synergetic Play Therapy Institute. And much like Anne, I was a play therapist first, and then I was introduced into EMDR. So I've been incorporating EMDR into my practice for about 12 years. And I am one of the contributing authors to this amazing book that's already being referenced in this conversation. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that too, which is how do you weave together some synergetic play therapy principles into the EMDR world and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you listening, Lisa's previous guest on the Play Therapy Community Podcast talking about synergetic play therapy. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, I highly recommend you go back to episode 69, where she tells us about the origins, the main tenets of it. It's really good. That was like the first time that I really got to talk to you, Lisa, and I've been wowed ever since.
That was a great podcast. That's fun.
All right. So I love EMDR. So I'm super excited to have you guys on the podcast. But many people listening may not even know what EMDR therapy is. So let's kind of start off there. What is it and who's it for?
So I can start off, Jackie. So EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. So it's an evidence-based intervention therapy that you use to resolve traumatic experiences for all ages and all, for many, if not all, mental health issues. So this intervention, this type of therapy has been around since the 80s, late 80s, early 90s is really when it really took the world by storm, and now many people have been trained in it because we're all looking for ways to resolve children, adults, teenagers, you know, difficult experiences throughout life. And traumatic experiences can be your typical things that happen, you know, whether it's a disaster, whether it's, you know, issues related with grief, COVID, but we're also talking about attachment experiences that are really considered traumatic for, you know, many of the young children we work with. And so we finally have a tool now to be able to playfully use an intervention in a way to resolve trauma with children and teens and adults. Mm-hmm. So it's a bilateral, and so we're using a bilateral part of it, but there's so much more to it because we have to get all the different pieces of the traumatic experiences, and we use a bilateral to desensitize the memory and then reprocess it, which means helping the client to really get a different view on the traumatic experiences. We're trying to put it in long-term memory. That's how the best way to explain it is, it's not in the forefront anymore. It's really in long-term memory. Like, oh, yep, you know, the death of my grandmother was difficult for me, but I remember her fondly, as opposed to it just causing me so much distress.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a great way to describe it. And you use the word playfully, and I think about children and their developing brains and how just working with kids, we need to keep that in mind. That just the amazing therapeutic power of play, the powers of play, how that can integrate in there. And I know that's your jam. That's what you all do. So let's talk a little bit of how that looks with children and teens.
Well, and you know, a lot of play therapists, obviously there are many play therapists who are trauma informed. Mm-hmm. And already curious about how we can help kids, you know, do the exposure work involved in trauma, healing from trauma in the playroom. And it may be approached in metaphor, it may be through role play, through other kinds of activities in the playroom that children are sort of tiptoeing to the trauma content, you know, kind of in an in and out sort of way. So some play therapists might be, well, why would you need to add EMDR to that? And where I became really curious about it is that I felt that, you know, for some kids, their avoidance of triggers related to the trauma meant that the play didn't go close enough to allow them to do that digestion of all the sensory elements, to really get into the body and how the body reacts to trauma. And so thinking about the therapeutic powers of play, you know, I'm going to be on the APT educational series having a discussion group about EMDR and play therapy. Very excited because it's the first time in a long while that EMDR has been on the APT agenda. So that's very exciting.
Yay, yay.
Yeah, so but just trying to articulate that how, you know, play is communication, how play tells, the children's play can tell us something about the trauma target, the traumatic memory. And then we can weave in the EMDR to add really the body's ability to process and digest, and how bilateral stimulation, either eye movements or tactile, with kids we tend to use tactile a little bit more, how that, you know, helps promote that. So so that's been an area of interest of mine for a while, and it feels like there's a growing number of play therapists who are also curious about how to add that EMDR protocol into the trauma work they're already doing.
Yeah, I think it's so cool that the field is just expanding and people's eyes, thanks to, you know, resources such as your book. I mean, it's growing and people are integrating more of these developmentally appropriate therapies with the children. I have to say that the first time that I used EMDR with a kid integrating play therapy, it resolved the symptoms so quickly that when I was doing the parent consultation with the parent shortly after the session, like, I believe the child was experiencing nightmares and wasn't able to sleep in their room or go upstairs by themselves. After one session, they went up to the bed by themselves and slept all night long. And I remember thinking when she was saying it, like, really? How could that be? But that's just the robust power of EMDR with play therapy techniques integrated. It's amazing. Not even techniques, you can integrate the play therapy non-directed as well.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think play therapists have a significant contribution to make to the EMDR community with regards to the safe alliance of play therapy. The kind of space that is made in the play therapy room is the ideal setting for something as challenging as trauma work, as asking kids to revisit the hardest moments of their lives, requires a huge amount of emotional safety. And I think that play therapists have a lot to teach the EMDR community about how to really create the kind of relationship therapeutically and the environment and the tools that help kids to do that. Because, you know, they're not just little adults. So we have to really adapt and integrate. And, you know, make it within tolerance for them.
You make such a good point, Anne. They are not little adults. Their brain's developing. I have to say, a shift in my work, when you say that play therapists have so much to offer the EMDR community, when I read Lisa's book, Aggression and Play Therapy, and we spoke about it, there's a video out on YouTube, it was like a game changer for me. She talked about regulation in terms of co-regulation and just that connection between the therapist and the child. And I really hadn't thought of it that way before. I was thinking, well, we're working towards self-regulate so the client can self-regulate. And I don't think I've said that term since then until now. So Lisa, could you chime in a little bit and talk about just synergetic play therapy and the concept of co-regulation and how all this fits together?
Sure. So I think the first thing that I want to say, because what we're talking about in this podcast is, you know, the relationship, the profound relationship that can happen between EMDR and play therapy. And I think it's important to say that synergetic play therapy is just one modality. Mm-hmm. But there are some key pieces from synergetic play therapy that I believe can be woven into any play experience when you're bringing EMDR and play together. So I'm going to put in another plug for the book, because the book is brilliant and it really talks about many different play approaches and how to use EMDR in many different play approaches, which I think is so key to know that there are so many creative ways to bridge the gap.
Mm-hmm. Hey, pause right there real quick, Lisa. We haven't actually said the name of the book yet. And if
somebody
stop and pause it and they don't get back to it, we don't want them to miss out on that. So what is the title of the book and where can they find it?
The title is EMDR with Children in the Play Therapy Room, an Integrated Approach. It's published by Springer. So myself, Anne Beckley Forrest, and Annie Monaco are the editors, and we have chapters contributed by both some pretty well-known people in the play therapy world, such as Lisa, and also Paris Goodyear Brown, Marshall Lyles, and then some people who maybe haven't published as much before. We have a chapter on creative arts therapy. We have a chapter on cultural relevance, which is Viviana Triana and Viviana Urdaneta are going to talk about Latinx community. And actually, Annie and I have a webinar series based on the book. We just had Lisa on last week. Great acclaim. We're just inviting different authors from the book, and the Vivianas, as we call them, are doing theirs coming up next month in November. So people can look up the Playful EMDR webinar series on my website and find it there. As far as the book goes, I think you can get it on Amazon. You could get it directly from Springer. You can come to Annie's house and get a copy. We have a food lying around, as you can imagine. It's a very exciting moment for us, first time publishing a book. So we have a few extra copies sitting around.
I love it. We'll all show up with our coffee cup and ready to sit there and look at it. That's exciting.
So if I can add one thing about the webinar series, because of COVID, and we realized that we would not be able to, you know, do book signing, and I was feeling pretty discouraged. And I said, oh, wait a minute, let's do a webinar series with all of our 19 authors. And so that's what our series is. It's we've done three already, and then we're gonna be going all the way through April of next year. And they're 3-hour mini series. You can find them on Anne Beckley Forrest's website. And so it's really great because it's 3 hours of just interventions, right? 3 hours of just learning and just understanding different concepts about how to integrate the two approaches, as well as just, you know, we're kind of fun actually on the webinar. So come and join us. But we have about 100 people join us for every webinar.
You do have to be trained already in the basic EMDR approach in order to sign on for those.
And if you're not trained, you can take our EMDR course that's coming up in February. We have 8 spots left. So, and that you can find.
Okay. Now, if they're not trained, and that's a question that I get a lot, is are there any child focused EMDR basic training? So I know I seen one of your recent advertisements for the Playful webinar series, that I put it on the EMDR with kids page and then shared it with the play therapy community, but I don't think I know where the basic training information is. So if you send me that information, I'll make sure it's in the show.
Yeah, I definitely will. So MDRIA, which is the international organization that monitors all EMDR trainers and approves us, we have to teach the protocol in the adult version. But what Anne and I offer that I don't think pretty much many other trainers are doing is we really offer how to work, how to use EMDR with your very small children, your middle-sized children, and your teenagers. So we add that additional component in our training that's not being done with other trainers. So that's why we get a lot of the play therapy, the play therapists who come to our training. So February is the next training that we're doing.
That's excellent. Yay. I know some of the misconceptualization out there, conception. I'm saying my word. I got up way too early this morning. EMDR is just an adult therapy that, when used with children, we're trying to fit them in this this just adult parameters without, you know, paying attention to their developing brain. So I think it's work like what you guys are doing is so helpful to really kind of reframe and help people understand that it can be developmentally appropriate when you do it in a playful way and you incorporate play therapies.
Hey, Jackie, I want to tell you the first time I met Lisa. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because I went to her training at APT. It was like a kind of intro to synergetic play therapy. And first of all, I was like, this is the first new thing in play therapy in a long time. And I was very excited. And I kind of caught out of the corner of a video that she was doing EMDR with the kid. And I went up to her on the break and I'm like, oh, you do EMDR. And you know, she wasn't an EMDR trainer, so she didn't mention it in her play therapy training. But that was how I first, I just ran up to her on the break. I'm like, you're doing EMDR. So anyway, I'm so excited about synergetic play therapy and EMDR integration. And about Lisa.
Yes.
And I owe Lisa everything because she taught me to use pool noodles. It gave me a lot of grief.
So funny. The wacky noodles. Yeah, I think, Lisa, you have a huge fan club around the world, right? Like people on the other side of the globe with turkey basters just like praising how amazing you are.
That's absolutely hysterical. I'm imagining listeners right now that are not familiar with what we're talking about going, this woman does what with pool noodles and turkey basters? And, what's happening right now? But it's actually a nice little segue here to talk a little bit about the piece that I think we can pull from synergetic play therapy that can be woven in, which is the co-regulation. Because really both of those objects that we just mentioned are regulation tools, and they're just a way to promote integration in the child's system. But some of the underpinnings of synergetic play therapy are rooted in interpersonal neurobiology, which for those of you that are not familiar with interpersonal neurobiology, so you know, it's a mouthful. Another way of thinking about it is relational neuroscience. So it's really, really looking deeply at what's going on within the child, in their body and in their mind, as well as, and this to me is the really beautiful component, as well as what's happening in the body and the mind of the clinician, in this case, the play therapist. And then what I love is what's happening in the space between them. So it's not so much about I as the play therapist am showing up and I'm doing a protocol to you, or I am facilitating your process. Mm-hmm. It's more about I'm showing up and I'm really being in the process with you, and I'm co-regulating the journey with you. And to me, that's the piece that so beautifully connects with EMDR, because what we're trying to do in EMDR in many ways is create a safe way for the child to begin to move towards the challenging thoughts and experiences that are having a hard time being integrated. And when we, as the clinician, learn how to modulate the intensity, learn how to modulate the energy or what's going on in the play space, mm-hmm. it's almost like we become another, how do I say this? Like another layer of helping the child move towards. And so it's another way of creating a profound sense of safety for the child, because we're really in it, feeling it, modulating. If it gets too much, we know how to back off. We know how to lean in if it's not getting, they need a little bit more intensity. So we're really promoting and really trying to understand how do we help the child continue to move towards instead of away from the internal triggers. And in doing so, I'll add in the last piece, which one of the pieces that I think is really unique to synergetic play therapy is that in doing so, we also have a really deep appreciation and focus on the repatterning of the child's nervous system, mm-hmm. and really look at the somatic aspect of what's going on with the child. So when I look at the combination of, for example, taking a theory like synergetic play therapy that's so somatically based, and then I look at combining with EMDR, that the joke that I have said is it's almost like EMDR and SPT are long lost best friends. Mm-hmm. They're such a beautiful support to each other. And what's also beautiful is that synergetic play therapy is both directive and non-directive, which also leaves room for a lot of creativity. There's a lot of play therapists that don't really understand that EMDR can be applied in a non-directive way. It doesn't always have to be a directive protocol. And so I just love the creativity and the space that it opens up. But at the end of the day, if this is all about helping children move towards the challenging experiences so they can integrate them, and as Annie was saying, help them move those experiences into long-term storage and move through life in a more resilient and empowered way.
Now, Lisa, you talked about the non-directive piece of it. And I know when we're working with young children, you know, we need to be more non-directive. So I think it is like a, you know, like long lost best friends or just so connecting. Can you talk about like with EMDR and synergetic play therapy with young kiddos?
Sure. And so, really it's any age child. And like with anything, you're looking at the child and you're looking at the situation and you're deciding which intervention, is most appropriate for that child. So depending on the age of the child and what's going on, I might go non-directive or I might go directive depending on what's needed, or I might do both. That's also, you know, part of the creativity. I may do a session where part of the session is play and I'm integrating some, bilateral in the play, or I'm, you know, or, and then there may be times then when I stop the play and we move into a more, you know, directive use of the protocol. There may be times when the parents are in the room and I'm using the parents as support for the, you know, for the EMDR process. What I just want listeners to hear is that EMDR can be so creative and the application for it in a play space can be so creative. And it's really honestly one of the reasons why I love this book so much, because I think it just opens minds to possibility and helps the play therapist think outside of, oh, I thought it was only that, or I thought you could only do it that way, which leads, I think, play therapists into a space of more creative authenticity and more ability to attune to the client and the client's needs. That's really... that's what I would say, you know, since this isn't a training here on the podcast, what I would say is go buy the book, you know.
Well, we could listen to you talk about co-regulation forever, Lisa.
Yeah, I could, definitely. I'm actually just really like co-regulated
like,
with
Annie's
Lisa.
Like sitting there nodding. You can't see her, but we're just sitting there going, yeah.
Yeah.
But I really agree. And I just, it's quite exciting to see the level of innovation. And, you know, one of the things that nurtures that is people who take the time to get trained and credentialed in both approaches. So the growing number of RPTs who are also certified in EMDR creates that, you know, kind of raw material for innovation and then hopefully for the research. So that's really the next step is to, you know, we have some research on the effectiveness of EMDR with children. Obviously, there's a lot of research about how effective play therapy can be with children who have been trauma exposed. But we're ready now for people to tackle the research to support the integration. And you know, for therapists at the clinical level to just get good consultation, be solidly grounded in your play therapy theoretical model and get good consultation in EMDR if you're gonna apply it with kids. Because there really are a growing number of people who are RPTs who also are credentialed in EMDR and who are approved consultants like you, Jackie, and I'm as well, and Annie as well. So, you know, so there's a lot of potential for further growth, the more of us that sort of cross train and make sure that we're, you know, faithful to our roots, but also innovating in the way Lisa's talking about.
You mentioned like really good consultants. I just recently had Marshall Lyles as a guest on the podcast. He's like amazing.
We are members of the Marshall fan club.
Yeah. Oh, he's incredible. But he's an injury approved consultant as well as a registered play therapist supervisor. So I think there's lots of great choices out there now, which is really cool. People can kind of move towards support in a direction that feels right to them.
Well, and the one thing the pandemic has done for all of us is, you know, kind of forced us to go into the online space, but it's really drawn us together as a community, I think. And, you know, I now am doing way more group consultation online than I was previously with people from around the globe. And it's actually really encouraging to see people come together like that. So.
It is cool, isn't it? Meeting with people that are like in different time zones. We're in different time zones. It's amazing. Technology is incredible, but the pandemic has made it to where we're able to provide our services online a little bit more frequently. This pushed us into that area, which is nice.
Jackie, I want to offer a resource because I imagine that there maybe is someone that's listening that is trained in EMDR, but they want more of the play training, or or they have play training, but maybe they just got curious about what we're talking about here. And since we're having a conversation about everything being online, just for listeners to know that our online synergetic play therapy trainings have been online for years. They were built before COVID. They were built before COVID, and they've been designed as a play, as an online play therapy training. So that's just a resource for individuals too that want more play training, or again, maybe they're EMDR, more focused on EMDR and want to expand their play education.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's great. I took a training of yours, Lisa, that I absolutely loved, and it fits really nicely with phase seven, the closure phase of EMDR is I guess throughout all the phases, but using the Santra as a regulatory tool, and that's where the reference to the turkey baster came in. You're brilliant. You have all these like these unique ideas that it's like, why did I think about that? But just directing clinicians to get various products and think of the sand tray as a regulatory tool option to be able to help them to use the sand and the sand tray itself as a way to regulate their nervous system. It's a beautiful 1 hour training that was a big game changer for me.
Awesome.
All right, we're almost out of time, but I want to make sure that people know where to go to learn more from all of you. So I'm going to put the links in the show notes, but if you could just say it verbally for those listening in their car or people that can't write it down, just kind of throw out any social media platforms or any websites that you would like people to have access to learn more.
So, Lisa, you go first.
Okay, so synergeticplaytherapy.com is the website for the institute where all the trainings are, and to learn more about synergetic play therapy, we're also on Facebook as the Synergetic Play Therapy Institute. And then, if you are curious about the Aggression in Play Therapy book, you can get that on Amazon.
And our book is EMDR with Children in the Play Therapy Room, an Integrated Approach, available wherever your therapy books are sold. And we each, Annie and I each have a website. Mine's annbeckleyforrest.com.
And mine is Annie Monaco, AnnieMonaco.com. And that has the EMDR trainings, and then the webinars are on Anne's website.
And we're hoping to start a joint website soon. And so Playful EMDR, which is the name of our webinar series, is also probably going to be the name of that joint venture in early 2021. And we'll be offering some more intensive training for therapists who want to get really good at the work with kids. So that's coming up next year when we get around to it. The other thing is there's a Facebook group that I moderate called Play Therapy and EMDR Conversations. And it's very vibrant. People post a lot of stuff. A lot of the people who are doing consultation, who are in EMDR, who are also RPTs, are in that group, and encourage people to join us there.
Oh yeah, that's a great group. I'm in that group. I love it. I
Yeah,
love
that's how I
that.
met you, Jackie.
What?
That's how I knew about you, Jackie.
I think that's how I knew about you too.
And you
Well,
don't have to be trained. It's okay if you're just EMDR curious. You can join the conversation.
I like that phrase, EMDR curious, because I think it is not only a big investment, which is totally worth it, but financially for a lot of clinicians, but also it's a turning point in your career. So learning all that you can about it before you make that commitment to get the basic training, I think is really helpful. I could not imagine doing the work I do without having EMDR and play therapy training. So I'm super, super excited about this episode getting out there to people that may have never even heard of EMDR therapy before. Well, thank you so much, and you guys take care.
Thanks for
Thank
having
you,
us.
Jay.
Thank you so
Bye,
much.
Lisa.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Play Therapy Community Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for this episode and explore our growing members' library of play therapy related resources at www.playtherapycommunity.com. Prepare to be informed, equipped, inspired, and supported.